Hebrew scripture reading for this morning comes from Jeremiah chapter 22, verses 13 through 16, and it reads, "Woe to him who builds his house by unrighteousness, and his upper rooms by injustice, who makes his neighbors work for nothing and does not give them their wages, who says, 'I will build myself a spacious house with large upper rooms,' and who cuts out windows for it, paneling it with cedar and painting it with vermilion. Are you a king because you compete in cedar? Did not your father eat and drink and do righteousness and justice? Then it was well with him. He judged the cause of the poor and needy. Then it was well. Is not this to know me, says Yahweh?" There ends the scripture reading. This morning, I'd like to begin with a question. In the scripture that I just read, could you identify with anyone in the scripture? In other words, when you're reading Jeremiah just now, do you think, oh, Jeremiah is talking about me right now? Now, I'll be honest. When I read this, I had trouble seeing myself in the scripture. It seemed like there were two options. Either one was the rich and unjust ruler, or one was the poor and unpaid worker. And I tend to think of myself as being a part of the middle class. I'm kind of in the middle of these two extremes. And a lot of people in our country probably think of themselves as being about the same. There was a poll that came out last month saying the same thing it says every year, which is the majority of people in our country, 75%, identify as middle class or upper middle class, mostly middle class. And so this made me wonder, well, does this scripture just not apply to all of us who think of ourselves as being middle class? Are we kind of off the hook on this one? And I thought, well, I don't want to be that easy on myself and our congregation, so let me think about this some more. And a couple of ideas came to me. The first idea that came to me is this idea that poverty and wealth are something that are relative. So a lot of people who are middle class in the United States often begin to feel relatively wealthy when they think about poor people in other countries, for example. Last year in Bryn, there was a reality TV show called Blood, Sweat, and Takeaways. So takeaways is British slang for fast food takeouts. And so the idea of this show was that they took six young Brits who were fast food junkies, and they took them on a trip to Indonesia and to Thailand. And what they did in these episodes was that they worked and they lived right alongside the people who provided the cheap labor for their cheap foods. So in the episodes, they were working and living with the people who provided the rice, the chicken, the tuna, and the prawns for their meals. And so in one episode, you see three of them working on the factory floor of a tuna plant. And they spend the whole day working hard, gutting, skinning, and filleting the tuna. And at the end of this hard day of work, they are shocked to receive barely $3 in wages. In another episode, one of them is living with his host family, and he insults and offends his host family because he needs to go to the bathroom, and they take him to an outdoor latrine, the sight of which causes him to vomit. And so over the course of these episodes, the six young Brits all come to this awakening where they realize their relative wealth and privilege in relationship to the people who prepare their daily foods. Incidentally, one of them, before all this happened, was nicknamed by her family Paris Hilton because she always got everything the way she wanted it. Now, the show has some problems, because it kind of sensationalizes and exoticizes poverty through voyeuristic eyes. But at the same time, I think it captures the experience, the jolting experience that a lot of Westerners have when they see firsthand for the first time third world poverty. all of a sudden they feel pretty rich in comparison to how the majority of the world lives. Now, one could argue that this relative sense of poverty and wealth actually goes both ways. So I don't know if any of you ever had this experience, but maybe, you know, you're at the point in the month where you're paying your bills and things start to, you know, normally you feel pretty well off, but all of a sudden things start to feel a little bit tight. And you start to feel a little bit differently, and you start to think, I wish I was a little closer to that Fortune 500 list. Or maybe a friend invites you to the concert of your favorite musician, and you realize you just don't have enough money in your budget to pay for those tickets. Now, none of that is worth complaining or protesting about. And the reality is that for middle-class people, whether we like it or not, in one way or another, all of us are plugged into a larger economy with all of its inequalities and forms of exploitation. Because really, there's no other word for the wages that some people get paid for the work that they do. And so that brings us back to the question of where are we on this landscape with the unjust king and the unpaid worker? Now, maybe I've been asking the wrong question. Maybe the question isn't where are we at on Jeremiah's poverty and wealth index, but actually where are we at in relationship to God? Because at the end of our scripture, Jeremiah says that to know God is to be involved in the doing of justice for the poor and needy. It's a classic liberation theology text. It's saying in explicit terms that God is on the side of the poor and the oppressed. Jeremiah is saying that if you want to find God, if you want to hang out with God, get to know God on more intimate terms, then you've got to be involved in the business of justice. Now, this idea made me think of something else. It then occurred to me that really, there's a third option. There's more than just the two options of being either the unjust king or the unpaid worker. And this third option, it's not necessary that you belong to one class or another. It relates to this idea of being involved in the business of justice. The third option is that we identify with Jeremiah. Now, some people, myself included, might feel uncomfortable with the idea of identifying with the unjust king. I mean, who wants to be the unjust king? But it can also be uncomfortable sometimes to identify with Jeremiah the prophet. Because Jeremiah, in the Hebrew Bible, the prophets are like the social activists. They're the rabble-rousers who are sticking it to the pharaohs and the kings. And while some of us might embrace that role and that identity, not all of us maybe like to think of ourselves as rabble-rousers. But I think if we take a closer look at the scripture, we actually get a fuller portrait of who Jeremiah is and what it means to be a prophet. If you look at the original Hebrew, Jeremiah is using the same language that they would have used to announce a funeral. And if we look a few verses earlier, we see that Jeremiah is full of grief over the state of his people. He's full of grief, wishing that things were the way things used to be when there's more justice and righteousness in the land. And he begins to ask the question, why? Why are things the way they are? Why did this happen to this great city of Jerusalem? So first and foremost, Jeremiah is someone who cares. He's someone who has an open heart, a heart that's open to the aches and sufferings of the world. And so we can then ask ourselves, with this fuller picture of Jeremiah, is that easier to identify with? Can we think of ourselves as having the same basic love and compassion that Jeremiah had? Can we think of ourselves as caring about the plight of other people and willing to think it's a good idea to occasionally ask questions about why things are the way they are? Why are there so many families struggling to get by in this great city of Vancouver? The reward for being a Jeremiah is that one then gets to hang out with God. One then gets to know God on more intimate terms. One's no longer a spectator looking on. One's no longer watching the suffering on a reality TV show from a safe distance. One is there right in the midst of a God-soaked moment, hanging out with God, and one is all the richer because of it. Amen.